So verses 1 through 3. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters relating to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and those who are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. Yeah, and his idea is, okay, Paul or Jesus is this great high priest. He needs to fit these qualifications. The role of a priest was to act as the go-between people and God. You know, to go to represent people before God, to take their prayers, their sacrifices, to make them acceptable to God. And then somewhat to also take God's word back to the people. But it's primarily offering those things on behalf of the people. But because the priest was imperfect, he also needed to offer those prayers and sacrifices for himself. The reason for this is sin created a huge divide between God and man. For a dozen years, I lived in Twin Falls, Idaho. I don't know if you've ever been there, but just outside of town is a canyon. And if you're walking up to it, you can be 100 feet away and not see it because the ground is fairly flat and it just drops away. The canyon there is 475 feet deep. And where the bridge is at, it's the walls are almost vertical. So you can walk up and just look straight down. And you know, the first thing you see out, you know, sticking out a little bit, might be 100 feet down. Quite a chasm. No way to really get across that. Has created a chasm even greater than that. If you think of, you know, the Grand Canyon, okay, that's maybe starting to get there a little bit. Think of a chasm, you know, say between, you know, the distance between planets, you know, no way to cross from one side to the other. In addition, we also have the sins we commit daily. Taking an idea Paul talked about is a dividing wall. Imagine each sin puts a heavy block building this wall, getting built. I would hate even trying to imagine the size of the wall I've built in my lifetime, and every day adding more. You know, so the priest's offering was to temporarily make an opening in that wall so that he could, you know, if you want, use the sacrifices to open the walls and that his prayers might be heard over this chasm. He was the high priest then, was the only one that for one day a year, Day of Atonement, could go into the Holy of Holies and before the temple or Solomon's temple was destroyed, he could stand before the earthly throne of God and offer prayers for the people. But even then, he only had a limited time in there because of his own sinfulness. And I'm not sure if it's true, but I was reading a thing and it says there was a thought that they would even tie a rope around the waist of the high priest when he went in so that if something happened to him, they could drag him out. Because no one else was allowed to go in, only the high priest for one day of the year, for a short time, to offer prayers for the people. So the high priest said he must be picked from among men so that he could understand and represent them. He needed to be under the law, needed to be human. And second, he had to be selected by God, called to be a priest. You know, the priest would never decide for himself, oh, I'm going to be a priest. That was a call from God. In the Northern Kingdom, when the king, of the 10 tribes tried to set up a priesthood of his own. That was one of the sins. These were not ones that had been called by God. These were ones that had been hired by the king. And the author then, in the following, the verses to follow, actually takes the second qualification and starts with that and says, this is, one of the ways that Jesus is qualified to be the great high priest. And it's probably one of the things that a good Jew would say, well, he's not qualified. Jesus was from the family of Judah. The high priest had to be, or Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. The high priest be from the tribe of Levi and from the family of Aaron. Now, not just everyone in the tribe of Levi could be a priest. That's why they cut, in scriptures, they always talk about the priest and the Levites. The regular ones from the tribe of Levi would assist in the worship. They were the musicians, the poets, but not the priest. Yeah, to be that, you needed to come from Aaron's family. And Aaron had been picked by God. He was Moses' brother, and Moses didn't pick him, God did. God said, Aaron and his descendants will be the priest. So how did Jesus get around that? What he's saying is, at Jesus' baptism, God said to him, you are my son, today I have become your father. Selected there. Words not only at Jesus' baptism, but words also used at the coronation of a king. One set apart. And it was in addition, and it says, and he says that in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In the Old Testament, Melchizedek is mentioned twice. Once in Genesis, he is the priest, king, or king, priest, whatever, of Salem, later called Jerusalem. It was common in those days for the king of a small area to also serve as the priest. And Melchizedek seems to have those two roles. Salem would not have been a huge city. Considering the size of it, they think there might have been 3,000 to 3,500 people in the city, and then others surrounding it to support the city. But, he was not over the king of a huge area, small area. And as such, he would also have the role of priest leading in the worship. Abram went out and defeated four kings that were causing problems in the area, had attacked Sodom and Gomorrah, hauled off people, including Lot, Abram's nephew, and all the spoils they could. Abram took his men, attacked these four kings, routed them, chased them all the way to Damascus, and freed the people, got the goods that had been carried off, and was bringing those back. And Melchizedek came out from Salem and offered a blessing. A blessing in the name of God Most High. And Abram saw Melchizedek as a priest worshiping the same God he did. He might have been a little bit off, but seeing him as a worshiper of the true God, he then gives Melchizedek one-tenth of everything he has as an offering. And that's the last he's mentioned until you get to Psalm 110, verse 4, where this line is quoted, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It's a priest set aside at the time of Abram. The high priest in Jesus' time could count their beginnings back at Aaron. Priest in the order of Melchizedek would go back to the time of Abram or Abraham. And also the priesthood was not just a high priest, but a king priest at both roles. Today, we still talk in the Lutheran Church about calling ones to work. Church workers aren't generally, shouldn't be ones that pick themselves for the job. I know for myself, something told me when I was in fifth grade that I was supposed to be a church worker. I can't say exactly what it was, but I remember the day and knowing that it was what I was supposed to do. It couldn't have been any clearer, you know, if I'd heard the voice of God or seen God writing in the sky. I knew that was what was there. At the time, the only church work I knew of was that of the pastor. So I thought, oh, that's what I was supposed to be. By the time I got out of high school, I realized, no, that's not what I'm supposed to be. Got to put up enough roadblocks. But I was still, when I would try to go other ways, kept being pushed back something in church work. And that's where I ended up as a Lutheran teacher. Not something I had ever really considered growing up. And every time I tried to go my own way, God would, you know, push back. Sometimes have to almost kick me back. Says, this is what you've been called to do. So, you know, the priest needed this call. Pastor, it's hard to explain what that's about unless you've been through it. But I imagine there was a time when the voice came, right?
Yeah.
You know, even in the years since, going to different congregations, where I ended up was not my choice. You know, sometimes I agreed with it, but just as often, I wanted to go somewhere else or not go where I ended up. And then usually after I had been there, looking back, I could say, okay, now I can see why God sent me there. There was this job to do. When that was finished, I was sent some other place. You know, I can look back now and start to get an idea of why I was sent up to Forest Hill School of by Cornelius. I still have no clue why I'm here. You know, if the time comes, God will let me know, but it's not important. It's when Pat and I first visited, our reaction was exactly the same. We had been here once, and on the way home, we just kind of looked at each other, and we're home. It was how it came out. There's still a call there. I don't know if you've ever felt that call to serve, but it's something that you're assured of. You know it's true, but you can't say, well, I have all this evidence to prove it. Kind of an article of faith.
Okay. The Lutheran Church has on the call thing, Merv.
Mm-hmm.
We have something called immediate call. That's like a private prompting of the heart. And then there's an immediate call, which is where God speaks through a congregation and they call someone.
Yeah.
So the immediate call, I've felt the tug on my heart, but sometimes it's hard to tell if that's, is like you said it so well. I don't know if that's, is that God speaking? Is that, am I feeling that? What is that? But what really helps is when that congregation, through prayer and guidance and scripture, they say, yes, we're calling Frank from Minot, North Dakota, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you can hold on with certainty that there is a call. So anyway, I just
okay.
There. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
But with the Melchizedek, I think what's interesting about Melchizedek is, could this be Jesus himself? That in... when he's mentioned in Genesis 14, there is no order of priest at this time. You know, where does this guy come from?
Yeah.
And the gifts that he gives Abraham, I don't know if you looked up, the gifts are wine and bread.
Yeah.
This looks like Holy Communion. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. The note I had said that the wine and bread would have been a meal offered to, you know, someone that came to your place. But yeah, it is.
As Lutherans, we're like, oh, there's a pre-incarnate Christ in communion.
Yeah, a prefiguring there. Yes.
Comment on.
Can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? One comment on a call. It's a call is not something you choose.
Bob, I think you're muted.
Nope.
You're not.
I can hear him.
I'm getting signals. You need to
No, we hear him.
Yeah, just it said there's no sound there.
It says yours is
there.
Can you hear us now?
Now.
Is it?
Yes.
Everybody
but still not coming through.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm trying to get some things here. I'm trying to get the volume on this one to go up a bit.
It's almost full.
Yeah.
No, over here, though.
It does the same thing. They can't hear him?
Yeah. No. I think people can hear me, right?
You can't hear
me.
Yeah. But we weren't hearing Bob.
Can you hear
that was not me.
We don't have a dog. Merv, can you hear us?
Okay.
Can you hear us now, Merv?